Chapter 4, Philippians chapter number 4, and I'm going to do my best to preach the message that God's laid on my heart. I've been struggling getting peace. I feel like God is leading us this way this morning. I'm going to preach on the subject of contentment. Contentment, it's a big subject in the Word of God that's talked about very little. But actually, it's in the Word of God, or the meaning of it, or the thought of it is all through the Scripture about being content. Now, notice in Philippians chapter number 4, look at verse number 10. The Bible says, Paul says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again." Now, mention this, I want you to know, before we get to the text verse, that Paul is in prison. We'll mention that again. You know, this is a prison letter. And that he had needs, physical needs, that Philippi, the people of Philippi, met for him. But I want you to notice, he said, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again." So this wasn't the first time the people of Philippi had met a need, a physical need that the Apostle Paul had. He said again, "Wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." And Paul was saying that, I'm not mentioning what I just said in verse 10. I'm not mentioning this so you'll bring me something. He said, I'm just commending you for it because Paul said, I've learned something. Whether you brought me anything or not, I've learned something to be content in whatsoever state that I am. That state, that place, that circumstance, that position in life at the moment. He said, I've learned whatsoever state that I'm in to be content. In verse 12, he said, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Folks, if I'm reading that correctly, sometimes it's the will of God for us to have little. And sometimes it's the will of God for us to have a lot. But with a little and with a lot, our heart and our mind are to be focused on contentment. Now, I'll probably repeat this, and I want you to hear this. I'm just trying to go with the Spirit of God this morning is this. Paul was careful not to let his physical or his financial state hinder his spiritual state. Get a hold of that. Paul was careful. He learned. He was instructed. This is contentment. And I repeat this. It's something that you learn as you go. Paul said, I was instructed. God had taught him that doesn't matter how low you are, I'm still going to be there. And Paul knew then the place or the state he was in, which was prison, he was there in the will of God. So he could be content in that place, in that state. So he was very careful not to allow his lack physically or financially to hinder or his abounding. He knew what it was like to abound, to have much physically and financially, but never, ever to affect his contentment with Christ. Now, again, notice verse number 13. He said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now again, Paul goes back to thanking them or recognizing them for meeting his need. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Well, there's a message. There's a message. I want to be one of those churches that communicates to the needs of the gospel and those proclaiming it. Boy, it's dead as a hammer in here today. Amen. You saved?
Amen.
You happy about it?
Yes.
Amen. Am I preaching false doctrine?
No.
Well, then I need to hear something.
Amen.
Now, even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again under my necessity. Not because I desire gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, again, may the Lord add His blessings. We are preaching this morning on contentment. Last Sunday night, our dear brother that was here, man, Brother Borden, he preached one of the greatest messages in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 18, that I've ever heard. I've heard some good preaching from the verse, and it is a great verse. I've spoke of it in all, in everything. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then he added in the scriptures about giving thanks for all things. As I listen to testimonies, we in a place where we're giving thanks in something. But man, I'm glad the day will come we'll give thanks for something. And contentment plays a part in this. Being content in the state that we are in. Now, sometimes other people's decisions put you in a particular state. But however, nothing comes our way. Nothing is allowed in my life unless it gets clearance from the Lord. So even when, what did Paul say? Because of his bonds, some were preaching the gospel because it gave them the grace and the courage to do so because of his bonds. But some that didn't like him were beginning to preach so they hoped it would add pressure and problems and persecutions to Paul's life. And Paul said it like this, whether, and I'm paraphrasing, whether they're doing it for God's glory or to hurt me, it don't matter to me. The gospel's being preached. He was content with that. And so, folks, even when someone may do something to put you in a particular state, it didn't come your way unless God said so. So we can still be content with that. Now, if I've learned anything in 55 years of life, and I hope I got more life, is that life is full of ups and downs. Life is full of ups and downs. As a matter of fact, the Lord, He wants our contentment not to be in the ups and downs, but in Him. Our joy shouldn't be based on how we feel or what's going on around us. It ought to be based in Him. Everything. Folks, our contentment is in Christ. He's never failed us. He's never left us. He's never let us down. How can we not? Hey, whatever bad comes to me or whatever good comes to me, God so willed it in my life. And I can be content. But folks, there's times of triumph, there's times of trials, there's times of highs, there's times of lows. And Paul knew all about it. Paul knew all about it. And Paul got burdened about some things for a span of time. You remember when the Lord allowed a messenger from Satan to buffet him. Now, we're not sure what buffet means to bring pain to persecute, to bring pain. And many have speculated on what the problem was, but it's not spelled out in the scripture, so we won't go there. But whatever it was painful. It was a problem. And it got in the way of what his path was in his heart. But the Lord allowed a messenger from Satan to buffet him. And whatever it was very painful. Now get this. It was the will of God for Satan to buffet Paul. Why? The Lord told him that you would not be exalted above measure. Folks, you ever think about this? Have you ever said this? Things were going so good. Things were going so wonderful. And bam, something happened. And it has left us distraught, discouraged, confused, angry, upset, mad. And it's never crossed our mind that the Lord has put us in a particular state, in a particular position. Why? Maybe for the same reason. Or maybe it's just me. That we won't be exalted above measure. Have you ever heard this saying? The best of men are men at best. The best of men are still men at best. What do you mean? Our flesh is still dragging us down. And the Lord knows that too much praise and too much good and too much pampering will put us in a sphere of not being content in Him. You heard the saying, the more you give Him, the more He wants. Well, that's all of our flesh, by the way. The more you give us, the more we want, the more we expect. And we feel like if we're not careful, we get unthankful, we get unholy, we get uncontented, and next thing you know, we deserve all these good things. No, we deserve hell and whatever state we're in. And it's a hard lesson. It's a very hard lesson. Contentment is a resting or satisfaction of mind without external horror. I like that. Contentment is opposed and is the enemy to envy and greed and ambition and anxiety and fretting. Contentment is. Contentment is the offspring of humility, realizing it deserves nothing and everything it does have comes from the Lord. Contentment. Again, according to verse number 12, if you'll look at it with me, please. Paul said, I know both how to be abased or brought low with nothing. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. I know how to be up, know how to be down. He said, everywhere and in all things, listen, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Folks, contentment doesn't come natural. Contentment does not come natural to the flesh. Contentment does not. Paul said, I have learned and I have been instructed. What school of higher learning teaches that? I tell you, there ain't but one, the school of hard knocks. The school of hard knocks teaches us that. The valleys of our life, the battles of our life, the enemies that comes up in our life. Paul is speaking here and he's been put in jail for the gospel saying, hey, he had enemies. There was somebody in a class one time asked a group of students, This is a true story. Has anybody ever made fun of you, give you a hard time, said something that hurt your feelings? And there were two students in that class that raised their hand and said, nobody has ever done that to me. And I'm thinking, you just ain't lived long enough yet. You just haven't lived long enough yet. Because it's going to happen. It's going to happen a lot. But again, folks, I'm a whosoever will man. But I also believe in the sovereignty of God. If he's not sovereign, he's not God. If he's not in control of everything, he's not in control of anything. And every fiber of my life, everything that comes to my life, he is in control of it. And so therefore, even my enemies, God sends to teach me what? Contentment. Even, when I'm up and I'm down, learn to be content. Life is hard. Sometimes it seems unfair. I like what Brother Ed Vanover used to tell Thomas Newman in the sixth grade class. He said, life's not fair, but God's faithful. Amen. Life isn't fair, but God's faithful. I want to talk to, this has been burdening my heart. And I didn't know for sure if the Lord's going to let me get into this. But I want to say something to young families. Young families. I understand that nowadays there is a bigger view of what others have. Social media. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you this. Don't allow these posts of got a new car. And ain't nothing wrong with getting a new car. If you can afford one, get one. All these things they're doing. And you sitting there wondering, we don't have $5. And you get discontent. Can I tell you something about 90% of those people that do that kind of stuff all the time? They're in so much debt. And they have a problem with contentment. There's nothing wrong with having nice things. There's nothing wrong with any of that stuff. But I'm telling you this. Most people, you're running after them. I want what they got. I want what they got. I want what they got. And they're not content either. Everybody chasing one another in a circle. And ain't nobody content. I don't know who's leading the circle. I wish somebody would trip them and say, stop it. Stop. If you stop, we'll all stop. And so don't get caught up into that. And next thing you know, in your mind, in order to keep up with them, is you've got to take a job that you're going to voluntarily. I understand we live in a time now where these companies, they're messing everything up and the Lord's day means nothing to them. But don't go asking for one. So you make more money so you can keep up with them and try to get content with what they got. Hey, you're going to mess your life up. You're going to scar your children. Amen. I wouldn't care if we eat bologna sandwiches on Monday and eat mayonnaise sandwiches on Tuesday. That's y'all's problem. You don't think you're supposed to eat like that. Hey, I've eaten a jam sandwich. Jam two pieces of bread together. I've eaten a potato chip sandwich. I've eaten a mayonnaise sandwich. I've eaten a lot of sandwiches. My mama ate pork and bean sandwiches. Something wrong with her, but anyway. Running after, well, my friends, they eat every night down there at the steakhouse. Well, they might do it. But I'm telling you one thing, they ain't a lot of debt. How are they doing that? They ain't debt. That's why they're working 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. That's why their kids ain't in the house of God like they're supposed to. That's why, trying to keep up, trying to run after this and run after that. I want my child to have this, I want it to have that. And they're never content. Content. Being content with such things as you have. Being content with such things as you have. That is some things, you know what you're going to have to do? I ain't doing that. That's going to hurt me and my family spiritually. I'm not doing that. If I get that, that's going to hurt us spiritually. If I buy that, that's going to get us out of church. We're going to start missing. We're going to start skipping. And what's it about? Contentment. I'm not content because I'm not having enough fun. I'm not content because, hey, don't get me wrong. I just took 3 days. I took 3 days last year. So I'm not trying to sing poor Tommy. It ain't y'all's fault. Y'all begged me to do it. And I remember growing up, my mom and daddy got 1 week off in the summertime, 4th of July week. And they got 1 week off at Christmas. Are you listening to me? Now, this is going to help you, but it may hurt you at first. Your feelings. Monday through Friday. Whatever woman said amen, thank you, because it's feeling kind of foggy up here. It ain't a good fog. Come on. Hey, what's happening? What's happening? The Lord's Day. We're so uncontent, we forget about the Lord's Day. We're uncontented. We're uncontented. We're just not content anymore. Preacher, I done got this plan, that plan. I ain't telling you to break any plans. I'm just telling you it's a contentment problem. And I'm not fussing at anybody. God knows my heart. But the problem is God's people are not content. We're so uncontented, we've kicked the Lord to the curb. We've kicked the Lord to the curb. And folks, it's not just here. Every pastor, and I've talked to probably 75 or more, that has still not recovered from COVID. People still haven't gone back to church. And some that have are not back faithfully like they were. And it all started in 2020. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. You can't go nowhere without a germ. And folks, is Hebrews 9:27 still in the book or not? Are we appointed unto man wants to die or not? Huh? I ain't mad at nobody. I'm just telling you, hey, what's the problem? One extra germ hits the world out of a trillion, and all of a sudden we go to pieces. You're right. All kind of stuff's contagious before 2020, but nobody got upset about it. Right. Nobody quit church over it. Hey, if you're sick, run the fever, stay home till it's over and come back. Common sense. You running a fever, you don't go around nobody. If you got over 100 degree temperature, don't come here. Lock yourself in your bedroom, but not forever. It's a contentment problem. It's a contentment problem. We are not content. It's funny. Hey, restaurants didn't close down. They're booming. Walmart didn't lose any money. Lowe's didn't lose any money. But the church of the living God suffered. It's contentment. I don't know why I'm preaching this like this, but if I call this pastor's name, not in this state, but he preaches a lot in this state, Everybody know him. Good man. Good pastor. Good godly man of God. He said he had a lady. And don't get me wrong. When all that mess was going on, none of us know what to do. And some people had health issues, and I understand that. Please don't think I'm preaching against that. I'm trying to get to a place about contentment here, okay? Just like all of us, we've done all we could. You know, no pastor had ever went through that. No pastor had ever had experienced that. That was living and breathing. But he's all on a learning curve. Had people get upset at me and leave the church over it. And I was just trying to do what I know. I didn't know what to do. That's just the truth. I didn't know what to do. I know God wanted... But anyway, this lady, when all that was said and done, and I thank God for her honesty, she called the pastor and said, "I love you and I love my church. I love you. But I kind of like this, sitting in my PJs on the couch watching the service live stream. And this is what I'm going to continue. Been a faithful member 40 years. 40 years. A faithful member, 40 years. Her words, "I like sitting in my pajamas in front of the TV, drinking my coffee, watching the service, and they have a box out there. If you want to drop your tithes off," and that's what she's still doing to this day. On Sunday morning, gets up, brings her tithes, put it in that outside box, and goes back home and sits in front of the TV with a cup of coffee. Something's wrong with her contentment. Amen. Something's wrong with her contentment. Right. Something's missing. Something's missing. Folks, there's the scripture of contentment. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 13, 5 and 6, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Psalm 37, 16, "A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked." The conversation, the comparison of contentment. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. You remember when Paul was warning Timothy about false teachers, and just like what we see on TV nowadays, these televangelists, that gain is godliness. That's what the prosperity gospel. Gain. Paul, even back in that day, they were dealing with it. Gain. They teach that gain is God. In other words, if you're really right with God, you'll be rich. If you're really right with God, you'll never get sick. If you're really right with God, none of these things will ever happen to you. And let me read it to you quickly. Here was Paul's response, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Godliness with contentment is great gain. Not if you have gains, if you're prospering, you're godly. Godliness with contentment is where you gain. Godliness with contentment. In other words, they have to go together before you have gain. Godliness and contentment is great gain. Where's our contentment? If you're not contented with the state God has you in, then you're not godly. Am I saying that right? So we have the scripture contentment. We have the state of contentment. Let me hurry. My time's gone. I I want to say this again. Paul's in prison. He said, "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Notice these states. State, where you are. Paul was in prison. State, what is going on. Paul was content with the persecution and the suffering. State, who are you with? Paul's in the midst of a bunch of true criminals. He is content where he was. He was content with what was going on. He was content with who was around. He was content with what he had. And he was content not knowing what was coming. And I just preached that point in a hurry. In the book of Acts, I thought I had this marked, but I don't. But I'm going to it and I'm done. The book of Acts, chapter number 20. Notice what he said. Church, I love you. I hope you know I love you. And most of what I preached, I wasn't planning on it. The Spirit of God's doing this. I know without a shadow of a doubt. Acts chapter number 20. So preach what you're trying to say. Get mad at the Lord, not the preacher. Acts 20, verse 22. Paul said, "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Say that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying, the bonds and afflictions abide me." In other words, he's already bound. We know what he went through. He goes sailing on. He's in shipwreck. All that stuff happens. And he made this statement in verse 24. "But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Where was his contentment at? Doing the will of God. He said, "I don't know what's going to happen to me. I'm in bonds. I've been afflicted." We could go back to the Corinthians and read about all he went through physically, beatings and imprisonments and storms of all the things that he went through. But none of those things moved him. He never lost his contentment with the Lord. Folks, when we're struggling with contentment, it's because we're struggling with the will of God. Let that sink in. When we're struggling with contentment, folks, do you understand? Do you understand that until we pass a particular test, we can't move on with God? Until we get content in a state or place or where we can't move. Hey, let me tell you something. You'll never be content. Can I be real as your pastor? And I love you with every depth of my heart. Money won't bring it. Jobs won't bring it. Trips won't bring it. Relationships won't bring it. Contentment comes when you know you're in the perfect. Hey, Paul was content with whatever state he was in because he was in the perfect will of God. He was in the perfect will of God. That's where you can get contentment. Try the Spirit, search your heart. Paul did all those things. And he said, I'm where I'm at because of the furtherance of the gospel. And he was content. He was content. Folks, God's people, and I'm talking from the pulpit to the pew, godliness will never come till contentment comes. Now, folks, I'm not talking about contentment with our, you know, even Paul made a distinction. He said, "I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." He pressed toward the mark. In other words, he wasn't content. He wanted to be closer to the Lord. He wanted to be more spiritual. He wanted to grow more. He wanted to be, you know, he wanted to be better as a Christian. But I'm talking about in the places he was at in his life, God put him there. He was content. Where's your contentment? Marriages break up because somebody lost contentment. Homes break up because somebody lost contentment. We bounce around from one new thing to another, trying this, doing that, joining this, trying this, doing that. It's a contentment problem. I'm not fussing if you better yourself. Don't misunderstand me. But it's you know your heart. You do that for a little while, then nah. Folks, be faithful. Be faithful. Let's all stand. Miss Jessica's coming. I hope this message, I know it was everywhere. I hope it touched your heart. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.